come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Lord Jesus, we are thankful for the time that we have together. We want to bless you, Lord. We want to honor you. We want to fill our lives, Lord, with your presence. And we want to realize that you are here with us right now. Even as we go through announcements, Lord, you are in the midst of it because we are serving contagiously through these times, all these ministries that are going on. And Lord, we want to keep our eyes on you tonight, and we want to bring glory to your name and worship you and just give you all the glory for it. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we move on into our introduction of this Gospel of John. I love, love, love this book. I love this gospel. I am loving the studying of it and the just reading of it. There is so much in here that I don't find in the other gospels. And so apparently there are a number of other people who are also loving this book. I found out that our men's ministry is studying the Gospel of John. They are already in chapter 3. Our college and career group are studying the Gospel of John. On Sunday, as I was getting ready for church, I was listening to K-Wave and listening to Dave Rolfe, and he just did the introduction, which I didn't copy, by the way. He just did the introduction for the Gospel of John. So God must be saying something to us about what is in the Gospel of John, because he's speaking to the whole body. You ever notice how God does that? All of a sudden, everybody's thinking about the same exact thing, and you thought, oh, I'm the only one that's... No, it's a body thing, and so we're all working on that together. And of all the gospel, this gospel is, of the four gospels, the most evangelical. It is the most evangelical. There are more times that we have opportunity to share the Lord through the Gospel of John. It is the book that most of us would urge someone to read if they are a new Christian. The first thing that we say as you read your Bible, start with the book of John. And it, because it tells us who Jesus was, who Jesus is, what he did, it gives him the glory. That's what John wanted to do, make sure that God gets all of the glory. So that's what we have in this book. It tells all about Jesus. Having said that, we find that John's gospel is very different from the other three in that it omits a number of things that we find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It omits the birth of Jesus. It omits the baptism. It omits the temptations. It omits the genealogies. It omits, there's nothing about the Last Supper. There's nothing about Gethsemane. There's nothing about the Ascension. There are no accounts of people who were delivered from evil spirits or from devils. And there is not a parable in the book. Not one parable in the book of John. Yet, even though he omits what the other gospels tell us, he tells us much more that they didn't mention. He goes into a lot more detail, and there is so much that he tells us, and still at the end it says, if I told you everything, I wouldn't even be able to fit it into this book. And so some of the things that he will tell us in this book of John was the marriage feast at Cana of Galilee in chapter 2, Nicodemus coming to Jesus in chapter 3, the Samaritan woman is not in another gospel in chapter 4, the raising of Lazarus in chapter 11, the way in which Jesus washed the disciples' feet in chapter 13. Now, there's a thing about that. It is the way. He tells us the way that he washed the disciples' feet. He goes into a detail that isn't in the other gospels. Jesus' teaching about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, it's scattered throughout chapters 14 through 17. It's in John that some of the disciples actually come to life in this book of John with this more detailed information. We have the recordings from John, not a recording of Thomas speaking, but we do have them writing down about what Thomas said. So we have Thomas speaking in chapter 11, 14, and 20. We see Andrew becomes a real personality in chapter 1 right away. We are introduced to this man. We know something about him. We feel like we know him. We have the character of Philip in chapter 6. We have a closer look at the protest of Judas at the anointing in Bethany. The anointing of Jesus' feet in chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. These little extra touches are extremely revealing. After reading John's depiction of Thomas and Andrew and Philip, the character of each man becomes so real to us, we can't forget that person. And we are really more aware of it as embedded in us. John adds extra details. We'll see that some of these things are the loaves that the boy brought to Jesus were barley loaves. That's not recorded. It's a detail that was left out of the other ones. When Jesus came to the disciples and they crossed the lake at the storm, they rode between 3 and 4 miles. That's not in the other gospels, the distance that they had gone. There were 6 stone water pots at Cana of Galilee in chapter 2. There were 4 soldiers gambling for his robe as Jesus died in chapter 19. He knows the exact weight of the myrrh and aloes which were used to anoint the dead body of Jesus in chapter 19. He remembers how the perfume of the ointment filled the house at the anointing at Bethany in chapter 12. He remembers the fragrance. And as he speaks of it, we almost can smell that fragrance. We can almost pick it up by the way that he talks about it. It's very, very interesting the way that he does this. Many of these things seem like unimportant details, but they give us the reality that these are memories of a man who was there. We see him living out those memories as he writes them down. Now, last night, while I was trying to study, my husband decided that he needed to see our box of pictures. Where are the box of pictures? Well, of course, the box of pictures are not right there, okay? So I set aside my study and got the box of pictures out, and then he began to bring them in one at a time. Oh, look at this. I remember that. Do you remember this? And then he put them all on Instagram, and he'd send them all out to all of us. This is a good reminder, not only to him, but to us as well. Do not keep all of your pictures on a device. We would have missed out on these memories if these had not been printed out. So we want to remember that. I'm not trying to do anything except to cause us to come to a place where we're not so, these are my pictures here. These are for me to look forward. And for our kids to be able to look at something and go, wow, I remember that day. I remember doing that with mom and dad, or a sister who said, oh, I remember being with her at that time. So we want to be thinking of each other, which has really nothing to do with this study, except that to remind you to think of other people. Serve contagiously when you do your pictures. How's that? John is a man who had been with Jesus over the course of 3 years. Now, the other Gospels only cover Jesus' ministry from the time of John the Baptist. And so they only cover the last year of his ministry. But here we have, we will see that John has lived through with Jesus through three Passovers. And so we'll be seeing those in chapter 2, chapter 6, and chapter 13. So we'll be brought up to that. And yet we find that none of these memories talk about John himself. John's name is not in this book because this book is not about John. This book is about Jesus. And so as Jesus is brought into the center of it all, we'll see from the very beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and it dwelt among us. We'll see that it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. And we need to remember that. There's no mention of John's name throughout the entire gospel, which I just said. It is at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. It is at the name of Jesus that that will happen. And there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. That's Acts 4:12. And something else that we will see is that John spoke with detailed knowledge of Israel and Jerusalem. Most of the time that he will record of Jesus was their time in Jerusalem. And so he knows it. He remember, now you remember that Jerusalem was destroyed in approximately, or that it was destroyed in AD 70. John did not write this until about AD 90 or 100. So 30 years later, John is still talking about Jerusalem. He knew it so well. He knew it like the back of his hand. And so we will get that glimpse of Jerusalem as he's writing about it in this book. He speaks almost entirely of Jesus in Jerusalem. So why did John treat the facts like he did? As I said, the gospel was written about AD 100. He was living in Ephesus, where he would later be exiled to the island of Patmos. They tried to kill him. They tried to do away with him. But you know what? God knows how many days we have. He is the only disciple that most likely died from old age because no one else could kill him. His life was only over when God said his life was over. If you're worried about whether or not, I might die, just know. Now this, just know that God's in control. This does not give you license to go tightrope walking over Niagara Falls or to do one of those flying suits. You know, don't tempt the Lord. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord. So he knows our days. But by the time of his writing, there had emerged some situations in the Christian church, namely that Christianity had gone to the Gentile world. No longer was the church, was Christianity mostly Jews. It was mostly Gentile at this time. So that being said, Christianity had to be restated. It's not that the truth of Christianity had to change. It's just that the how to express it had to be changed. In the other Gospels, they would have the genealogies because that was important to the Jewish reader. But here, the Gentile, the Greeks, that's not important to them. They would have to study to make that important to them, like we do now. It wasn't important to them, so John had his purpose in it, and they did understand the Word. They understood the Word Logos. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. They understood what that meant, that word logos meaning the reality of things, the reality of things. They understood that. They understood there being good and bad. It was very clear to them. And so he writes it this way. So John's purpose in writing was that his readers might believe, according to 20:31, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing they may have life in his name. Now, I didn't put a name on this Bible study, but if I were going to put one name as a theme for this Bible study, I would call it believe, because I believe that this is what all of John is about. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe in him. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing they may have life in his name. He also tells us of what the work of God is in our lives, and that work is stated in John 6:29. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent, that you believe in Jesus Christ, who God the Father has sent. I love those little pocket, I love these. Anybody else familiar with these little things of John? Anybody carry these around? These are great. We give these to new believers all the time. This is Living Water. It's the Gospel of John with notes. And so you just have it. You carry it around with you. I do not have any at the book table. But it's so good. So you need to get one of those and keep it around with you. Everybody loves those. New believers and old believers alike. Old believers. Well, this gospel is loved by new Christians as well as us seasoned ones. You like that better? That sounds so much nicer. I like that better. John doesn't merely give us the facts of the life of Jesus, but he gives us long discourses and reflections of what he remembered. What was it that happened at that time? The reflections of one who has walked with Christ from probably his late teenage years until his death as a very old man. He walked with God. Tradition tells us that at the end of his life, close to the end of his life, he would be carried into a meeting on a stretcher, because he was no longer able to walk, but he had a word for these people that were in there, the Christians that were in there, and he would come up on one elbow and he would say, "Little children, love one another." And that was the entirety of what he had to share with them. Little children, love one another. Because it is the love of God that makes changes in our lives. It is the love of God as we believe on him. His gospel contains the best known verse in the New Testament. In fact, Martin Luther called it the gospel in a nutshell. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you know I memorized that verse when I was probably 11 years old, and it is stuck into my heart because we hide the word of God in our heart. Everybody knows that verse, you say to yourself. Oh, everybody knows John 3:16. I know people who have never heard of John 3:16, and they live in the United States. So we need to share that. So if you don't have that verse memorized, that's part of your homework. You get to memorize that verse. If John's gospel was the only book in the New Testament, it would still have enough meat and milk of the word for a lifetime of study. If it were the only book, it would have plenty. And remember that John says at the end of it, there's not even enough room to write it. Everything that Jesus did. And we only have 16 weeks to work on it. So you have some homework. You have some homework. For next week, you're going to be doing two lessons. It's going to cover chapter 1, verses 1 through 51. So it's very clearly put on your schedule here that on January 24th, what you will be bringing in is lessons 1 and 2. So you'll just time it out so that it makes it work for you throughout there, which means at the end of each one of these lessons, guess what? There's a memory verse. So if you don't already have John 3:16 memorized, we need to do that. And then there are two other verses. We're going to come together and we're going to say, "I've memorized those two verses," because we've worked hard on them as we've gone through them. And they'll be ready for next week. So we'll be covering that first chapter of John next week. Again, let me tell you how excited I am about this Gospel of John. We're going to break into our small groups and have some time in there. And I just pray that you will stick with this lesson, that you will stick with this book, that you will invest the time in prayer, that you will invest the time in the Word of God, that you will invest the time in your homework, and that you will, at the end of 16 weeks, you will say, I remember when I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. Because the Word of God has changed me. So we need to remember this, that God loves you. Love Him back. We need to remember that. And so, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these ladies. I thank you, Father, that you have ministered to us in such a way that has brought glory to your name, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would cause us to walk in the ways that we know that are true and clear, and that the ways that you want us to walk in, Lord. Help us to listen when you want us to listen. Lord, we continue to pray for our country and ask you, Lord, that you would cause us, Lord, to again be seekers of you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for the country that we live in. We want it to glorify you. And so we thank you, Lord, for our small groups. We pray, Father, that you would minister to each one of us as we pray together, as we get to know each other, as we set our sights on you, Lord, and bring glory to your name. We thank you, Father, so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.